Kate McClellan, pro wedding planner with over 16 years of experience helping more than 400 couples down the aisle. I started Planning Collective to help all couples get through the overwhelm of wedding planning by sharing my actionable tips and tools that I've used over the years working with my clients. We'll focus on getting rid of what I like to call FOWO, the fear of wedding oversight. This is an unfortunate condition that almost every couple will suffer from at some point. Let's get you back to enjoying the planning process. Here we go. This episode is brought to you by the Wedding Planning Blueprint Course, the new way to plan your wedding. I've been a professional wedding planner for almost 20 years now, and though nothing can beat the excitement of a wedding day, my favorite moments are sharing the real wedding planning experiences and tips that no one else is talking about. I designed this course to help take you from feeling lost and overwhelmed to educated and in control of your wedding plans. The course includes 24 lessons that are structured to help you first create your wedding planning foundation and then build upon it in an intentional way so that you don't make one of the most common and expensive mistakes, planning your wedding backwards. The newest feature in the course, Wedding Chat GPT, allows you to ask your wedding planning questions and get professional answers 24/7. The answers are pulled from the course content, which makes the responses reliable and actionable. This will be a true game changer, saving you time and money while you plan your big day. To see a full list of what's included in the course, head to planningcollective.com/WPB course. Working with a wedding planner would literally cost you thousands, but now you can have the expert advice and tips for under $150. And while the course is a steal, I do recognize that that's still an investment. Make sure you grab our free download, Expensive Wedding Planning Mistakes, and I can promise that that alone will save you the cost of the course. You can find our free guides at planningcollective.com, and I look forward to helping you plan your wedding. Hey guys, Kate here. Welcome back to another episode of the Wedding Planning Collective podcast. In today's episode, we're going to chat about 5.5 wedding traditions that you can skip and what you can do instead. Before we get into the tips, though, I wanted to start by reminding you that this is your wedding, and you should ultimately do whatever feels best for you and your fiancé. There are so many expectations, traditions when it comes to weddings, and while we talk about some of the main ones here today, the list could really be endless. While you're planning, remember that if there is something that just doesn't feel right or doesn't feel like you, you officially have my permission to skip it or put a twist on it to make it feel more representative of the two of you as a couple. All right, that said, let's get into the 5.5 wedding traditions you can skip. Number one, receiving lines. And I am very happy that this one is on its way out because it can really mess with my timelines. For those that may not be familiar, a traditional receiving line is when the ceremony concludes, the couple stands at the base of the altar or doors of the church or venue and greet the guests as they're leaving the ceremony. The idea or goal is that you have an opportunity to say hello to each one of your guests and thank them for coming to the wedding. While this is a lovely gesture, there are a few issues with the receiving line that can throw a wrench in your wedding day. The smaller of the issues is, frankly, it can be really awkward. You have a line of people waiting to talk to you, but you don't want to be rude and rush through the conversation. You think that most people will keep it short to a quick congrats, we love you, but you'd be surprised at how many will take the opportunity to try to catch up with you. This leaves you standing there trying to think of a polite way to move things along, which can make you anxious when you see the long line of guests that you have yet to speak to. And from the guest perspective, generally speaking, no one is a fan of standing in lines. But the biggest issue when it comes to receiving lines, like I mentioned, is that it can really derail a tight timeline. Even if you keep things moving while you're saying hello, if you have 120 guests and you spend only 20 seconds with each person, you're looking at 40 minutes for just the receiving line. Yes, there will be some guests that you might get away with a quick 5-second greeting, but you're also going to have those guests that take up more than a minute or so. A 1-minute long conversation seems super quick in normal circumstances, but times 100 or so guests, and you will be there for a while. Recently, I've seen that most couples are more than happy to skip this, but it's the parents or maybe grandparents that may still insist on this being a part of your day. I'll recommend an alternative to Run By Them in just a second. But most importantly, if you are going to do a traditional receiving line, please be realistic with how long this will take in your timeline. If you go through things faster than you planned, fantastic. But if it leaves you running behind, you might need to cut time from photos or other more important aspects of the day. Again, plan for about 20 to 30 seconds per guest, and that should keep you right on track. Now let me share with you the alternative to a receiving line that I really prefer, and I think you are going to like this option much better too. If you really like the idea of having a touch point with each of your guests during the day, but want to skip that receiving line, the alternative would be to do what we call table rounds at the reception. This would be when you go around to the different guest tables during dinner to say hello to everyone. You'll be served dinner first, and after you eat, make sure you take at least 5 minutes to eat, you can start visiting the guest tables to say hi. Doing table rounds is a great way to accomplish what you want to with the receiving line, but it can also be very tiresome and a time-consuming task. So make sure that you give some thought to this before the wedding, because your instinct will be to go to the tables that are physically closest to you, most likely your wedding party or your immediate family. But keeping in mind that the reason that you're doing these rounds is to make sure you have an opportunity to at least say hello to each of the guests, you actually want to skip those first tables, as they're likely the people that you've already been hanging out with all day, or they're going to be there for the rest of the evening. Instead, take a look at your seating chart before the wedding and target the tables of guests that you'll likely not hang out with throughout the rest of the evening or weekend. Maybe it's your parents' coworkers or your extended family that you never really see, or maybe some older guests that are probably not going to stay much past dinner. Honestly speaking, find the tables that you would most likely want to least go to visit and hit those ones first. That way, if you only have time to get to, say, half of your tables, the ones you didn't get to are most likely the guests that you'll be hanging out with a bunch throughout the rest of the night or weekend, so they won't feel snubbed that you never said hi to them. The second tradition is the wedding party. The shrinking or non-existent wedding party is a trend that I am loving, and it might be the perfect tradition for you to pass on. If having a large wedding party isn't your vibe, you're certainly not required to have a formal or traditional wedding party. You can still invite close friends or family to participate in several special ways, but save the stress and money of having that traditional party. We talked a bit about this in the last episode on money-saving tips, so make sure to check that out if you haven't listened yet. You can still have certain people that play a bigger role in your day, like being your witnesses for signing the license, performing the ceremony itself, or giving a reading at the ceremony. And giving toasts at the reception is another great spot to include people. But you don't need to embrace the traditional wedding party roles if that doesn't feel right for you. Number three, the garter and bouquet toss and other group wedding party dances. Again, if this is something that you've been excited about doing, definitely keep it in. I'll talk about a couple of the things to keep in mind if you're including these on your day. For many, however, these dance floor moments might not feel right, and you can definitely skip right past them if you'd like to. You can pick which dances feel special to you and skip the rest. If you're thinking of having a garter or bouquet toss, think about the breakdown of your guests attending before making a decision. The most common way to do this is to have all the single men come out to the dance floor for the garter and the single ladies come out for the bouquet toss. If you look at your list and realize that you only have a couple of single guests, this can lead to a very awkward moment for them. Alternatively, you can invite all of the guests out to the dance floor, not singling out anyone in particular, to make it feel more inclusive to all genders and relationship statuses. The most traditional garter and bouquet toss ends in having the guest that catches the garter put that on the guest that catches the bouquet. If you're planning on doing this, make sure to have a little signal to your DJ to cut that out if the pair that ends up catching them would not appreciate it. I've unfortunately seen many uncomfortable ladies have to sit through the moment of having an overexcited and overserved guest putting a garter on their leg. You can also plan on having just the toss portion for both the garter and bouquet and wrap it at that. And one final tip for you if you're feeling anxious about the formal dances. It's not uncommon for the dances to be a cause of anxiety for those that don't like dancing or maybe are uncomfortable with being the center of attention. If you're finding yourself in this boat, you can ask your DJ or band to play an abbreviated version of your song. Just make sure it's long enough for your photographer to grab some pics. You can also combine dances so that it's not just you on the dance floor. We'll often do this with the father-daughter and mother-son dances, but you can combine or arrange them in whatever way feels best for you. Number 4, cutting the cake. This is a tradition that I'm still a fan of, but that doesn't mean that it's right for every couple. While it will be expected that you have some sort of dessert, and don't forget the coffee, if cake isn't your thing, you can certainly skip it. An alternative may be to have a sweets table with a variety of small individual desserts, pies, ice cream, or whatever your favorite sweet option is. If you like the idea of having a cake cutting photo, you can still replicate that with whatever dessert item you land on. We've had couples cut pies, donuts, or do a first scoop with the ice cream bar. If you're doing a bunch of mini desserts, you can each pick your favorite and do a little cheers for the photographer. You can also have a small 1 or 2 tier cutting cake that would just be served to you and maybe your wedding party, or you can even just save it for an after wedding snack. And if you are having a traditional cake, but you're not a fan of gathering everyone around while you cut the cake, you don't have to do that. You can just have it on display and the caterer will pull it to the back to cut when they're ready. You can also cut it in a stealthy manner without it being announced, but still get that great picture of the two of you cutting the cake. Number 5, a church or reception exit photo. While I love a great exit photo, the process of getting that perfect picture can really take away from the enjoyment of the day. To explain why, let's walk through the logistics of the typical exit photo. We can start with the church exit, which typically takes place right after the ceremony. What most people imagine is that you're announced as newlyweds, make your way down the aisle, and the guests are all out front of the church or venue with the petals, rice, sparklers, or bubbles to help you cheerfully go from the front doors to your awaiting limo to take you to the reception. The reality is that once you're down the aisle, you'll likely need to sneak to your holding room or a private location to sign the marriage license. This is a perfect time for us to get the guests outside with their props for the photo and get lined up and ready for that picture. Except you're most likely going to have family photos to take before you leave for the reception. This means that to get that picture, you'll have to ask all of your guests to just wait outside for the 30 to 40 minutes while you're doing these photos inside, which can be a lot to ask of them and isn't the best way to start their guest experience at your wedding. The alternative could be that you take that exit picture right after signing your license and then come back to take the family photos after. However, most ceremony venues will give you only 30 to 45 minutes following the ceremony to take photos around the property, which means that you would need to decide between having that exit picture with all of your guests or the family photos at the ceremony location. Make sure you also get the okay from your ceremony venue if you plan on having an exit there, as many have restrictions on tossing petals, bubbles, or having sparklers on site. When it comes to the reception exit photo, what most people imagine is that the DJ or band plays that last song, and everyone quickly makes their way outside for a group photo with the sparklers, then you hop in your car to take you to the hotel. The reality is that by the end of the night, you'll have just a small amount of guests left, and it's most likely been a 4 or 5 hour open bar. Once that last song is played, you'll be exhausted, saying your goodbyes to all the guests, and maybe even packing up some of the decor items before you leave. It's unlikely that any photos taken at that time are going to be what you're imagining. One particularly challenging exit photo we had several years back will always stay in the front of my mind when we talk about this. The wedding was at the groom's parents' house, and they wanted to do a sparkler exit at the very end of the night as they got on the shuttle back to their hotel. The last song was played, and we started gathering the remaining guests to the front of the house to get them lined up with the sparklers. Drunk wedding party members were definitely challenging to get in order, but it was actually the groom that was the biggest issue. He had gone into one of the bedrooms and either passed out or was getting sick. We got conflicting stories from the groomsman that was with him, and he was absolutely refusing to come out. At this point, we had everyone lined up and ready for the photo, but the guests were exhausted and ready to go home. It was a real challenge to keep the guests there without letting them know what was going on with the groom inside, but the bride was still so excited about taking the sparkler picture. We finally got the groom out of the house. The bride was basically holding him up, And our next challenge was to give the drunk guests sticks of fire, which was very terrifying as one of the only sober ones around. The bride and groom stumbled their way through the line of sparklers, and luckily no one caught on fire. But I can promise you that these pictures were not what she had envisioned for this exit photo. A final note about reception exits to think about is that photographers typically stay for about 30 to 45 minutes after the dance floor is open. So you'll most likely need to pay for several extra hours of photography coverage to have them stay through the end of the night. Can you imagine how upset you would be if you spent up to $1,000 in extra hours only to get the messy, drunken photos from that moment? Crazy. So what are some alternatives to getting this group photo while avoiding these potentially chaotic situations? If possible, you can do a mock exit earlier in the evening when you still have the majority of your guests on site and everyone is mostly sober. Make sure to include your DJ, MC, and planner in on this so they can help you with instructions to get this done in an organized fashion. Ideally, you can do this early in the evening before the dancing gets started. Nothing kills a dance floor faster than asking everyone to leave the venue. While we're talking about sparklers, the large kinds that are made for weddings are often very difficult to light from a regular lighter, but they light pretty quickly from a Sterno can that caterers use under chafing dishes. If you have a couple of those on hand to get the lighting started, the sparklers generally light pretty quickly from each other. So you can get one or two of them started and the guests can go down the line lighting their sparklers off of each other's. Make sure that you have a large bucket of water or sand close by for everyone to extinguish the sparklers in. This will also help save you on cleaning fees if the burnt sparklers are left all over the venue. Another alternative to the group exit photo would be to have all of your guests gather on the dance floor and the photographer can take a group shot there. Make sure to let the photographer know about this ahead of time, though, as they'll need to bring a step stool or ladder to be able to get the best shot. And if you're looking for an alternative to the petals or sparklers as a prop, you can use ribbon wands or see if your venue will allow cold sparkler cans around your dance floor. And the final tradition we're going to talk about today only gets a half a mark on this episode because I actually went into much more detail about it on a previous episode. And that is not seeing each other until you're walking down the aisle, aka the first look debate. While I completely understand that some want to stick to this tradition, I highly encourage you to at least consider doing a first look before the ceremony, especially if your ceremony and reception are in the same location or there's no time in between the two. The biggest benefit is that it's definitely going to give you more flexibility in your timeline, but there are several other benefits that you may be surprised to learn about. You can get all the details on the first look in episode 12. Make sure to check it out if you haven't already. And those are the 5.5 wedding traditions you can skip in 2023. Do you have any wedding planning questions that you'd love to have answered? Head on over to the Wedding Planning Collective Facebook group and ask them there. And if you found this podcast helpful, please take a quick second to rate and review on the platform you listen on. It would mean the world to me, and it will help other couples find the wedding planning tips they need. Thank you so much, and I will see you in the next episode.